In this episode of the New York Baseball Podcast, we get to talk about the Yankees' exciting wild card win over in the Bronx with the one and only real Michael K.
Yeah, he'll have a lot to say about that because I guarantee, you know, he's going to talk to us when he's on his way to the studio for his show today. I guarantee there's going to be a lot of happy callers to that show.
Yeah, he's one of the busiest working men, so I really appreciate him coming on the show. There's a lot to talk about. We'll talk about Severino. We'll talk about Boone having a flawless game in the wild card game. And talk about you getting sprayed with some champagne. And I have a story.
Always great.
I have this very troubling story, and it's going to be like a reality check for everyone out there on the secondary ticket market. It's the New York Baseball Podcast. Here we go. Okay, we're back. October baseball. This is why we did this podcast, so we can record episodes like this after an exciting Yankees win while you were in the Bronx.
Yes, I was. Till very, very late at night. You know, it was a long night, terrible traffic day getting to the stadium.
Yeah, it was bad.
Bad night getting out. I mean, construction at 3 in the morning coming out. That's like
jackhammering.
The worst thing.
Yeah.
Like, you leave the stadium, you just want to drive home and go to bed, and all of a sudden, everything is closed down to like one lane. But in between the two traffic nightmares, it was a heck of a game.
Heck of a game. I mean, that was just two wild card games in a row, two Yankee wins in a row, one more exciting than the next. It was kind of the opposite of the 2017 wild card game where Severino gets knocked out early. The Yankees have to come back and then eventually take the lead. This is not the case here. Severino comes out throwing lasers in the first couple innings. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Kind of came out like with a closer mentality. Then you had Aaron Boone pressing all the right buttons. You had Aaron Judge setting the tone early, getting that early lead, getting that stadium even more raucous because, you know, you were in the stadium last night.
That
place
was loud.
Was loud from the get-go, and that's exactly what they needed to do, was get a lead early and kind of take that bullpen away from the A's, of course. We're going with the bullpen game. That was bullpenning gone bad.
I think it's fair to say the bullpenning idea was a failure last night.
Rough night for your boy Brian Kenny. He was eating crow all night on Twitter.
Boy, was he. He was so happy in the afternoon.
So
though.
Happy.
I know.
He literally thinks he invented the bullpen game.
Well.
And like this was his baby last night. And he goes out there and listen, you can't put out a bullpen game if you don't have the right guys
in
there.
Your bullpen's got to be up to it.
Right. I don't care. Lou Trevino, and he had their
Lou
opener.
Lou Trevino was good.
He was actually, he settled things
Liam
down.
Hendricks was bad.
Hendricks was never been on a stage like that before. The guy's
no.
from Australia. Not that it has anything to do with it, but he never pitched on a big stage like this. You can tell from the jump he was off. I mean, he was all over. He couldn't find the plate against McCutchen.
Couldn't throw strength.
He finally grooves one into Judge, and he sends it into orbit. Aaron Judge, you take a look at his playoff numbers. I saw a number last night on the Yes Network, most home runs through their first like five playoff games, or it's Aaron Judge and Reggie Jackson before.
Well,
home
you
runs.
Know what? If you look at Aaron Judge's numbers, they will make Brian Kenny happy because I think his postseason batting average is like .215.
Wait, what's his ex woba?
His ex woba is like off the charts. Whatever the hell that.
That's
what
another
is that,
thing.
By the way?
I turn on the MLB Network. What was it? Tuesday?
Tuesday
afternoon. Tuesday. You're on my screen, looking sharp. You're on a nice dais with Joe McGrain.
Joe McGrain was there.
And,
John Heyman.
John Heyman, our
and
friend
of
the
course,
program,
the guru of stats nerds, and that's
they
Brian
put up.
Kenny.
They put up this full screen of ex woba, Nick, and I was like, Wally is. I could just. I would love a camera on Wally's face right now. Wally, what are your thoughts on this woba?
Yeah, well, I asked him about ex woba at one point.
Yeah, so I heard that.
Yeah.
He had a few lines.
Yeah,
zingers.
I mean, come on, man. All right, so anyway, Judge's average is like in the toilet. But he's got five home runs and like 12 postseason at-bats. That's
yeah, he's doing what he's got to do. I mean,
12 postseason games, I should say. Out of 12 postseason hits,
right.
Five home runs.
He's got two home runs in back-to-back wild card games. He sets the tone early. Voit with that huge 9-pitch at bat. I mean, fouling tough pitches off against the best closer in the league.
Yeah, one thing, he was styling a little bit, going around
the finger
first.
Up.
Yeah,
he doesn't know how to
yeah.
not style. The guy goes three buttons down. I feel like the people that didn't know about Luke Voit, the people outside
He's
of
got
New
his
York.
Own shirts now.
Right, the guys that didn't know about him, I'm talking about the national crowd that tuned into the game last
right.
night. They were like, who is this bouncer that is playing baseball for the New York
much.
Yankees with the shaved hair and the lettuce coming out of his shirt? But they figure out who he was because he was styling. He put the finger up, and I think he was getting a lot of crap from his teammates because Stanton hits a 500-foot home run later on in the game, and he just put his head down and kind of ran, and Voit hits one, a wall scraper.
Happens more often for Stanton.
Right, and Voit hits a wall scraper, and he's got his hands up. But that was a huge point in the game. That kind of blew it open.
I thought they actually, though, quite honestly, turning point was Betances.
Yep.
You know, you bring Betances in with two runners on, nobody out. You're putting him in a tough spot. He worked his way out of that. And then you put him in the second inning where a lot of times he's not as good as the first inning, right. And he was better.
Yeah, there was a lot of things. There was a couple MVPs last night. We'll get to Betances. Aaron Boone, you know, getting criticized kind of down the stretch for how this team had performed and some of the managerial moves, the bullpen moves. You've heard it all by now. But he had himself a very good postseason opener. From a managerial standpoint, going, first of all, choosing Severino, were you surprised by that?
Not really. As the days wound down in the season and when he canceled Severino, when he pulled him from the start the last day of the season, it seemed like he was lining him up for this because I think, listen, they could say they don't, you know, it didn't make any difference, but I think they really want J-Hap twice against the Red Sox.
Right. It was something we discussed at length for the weeks on end here was, you know, do you overlook this wild card game to line up Hap for two starts? You know, it was kind of a risky move. We asked Flaherty.
Yeah, it was a gamble.
It was a gamble. But just Severino from his stuff, man, it was almost like they told him, go out there and do what you kind of did in 2016 when you were coming out of the bullpen, when he kind of refound himself.
Yeah.
Just let it all hang out there. 99
I also think
to 100.
They told him he wasn't going to go, you know, very far.
Yeah, because that's another thing is during his press conference.
He said, I'll be happy
with
four innings.
I've never heard him say that once. He was always a guy that goes, I want to go seven or eight. I'm the ace of this staff. So when I heard him say, you know, if I get four innings, I'll be happy, it was pretty much they told him, listen, change your game plan up.
And there's guys behind you. Don't worry about it. Right. Just get us to the fifth inning and we'll take it from there.
And his game plan was really good. You saw that first inning, it was all fastballs. He threw a lot of on two-pitched fastballs on the corner. He got a lot of strikeouts. And then the second inning, I think he threw something like 16 sliders.
Yep.
Which completely threw the A's off their game. They were expecting fastball. They were getting that nasty slider that looked like it had a lot more depth to it. So, you know, really good game from Severino and also from Gary Sanchez. He called a good game. He had some really
good
blocks.
Sanchez made a really good block with a runner on third base.
Yeah, so, I mean, he didn't get any hits, but, I mean, just as long as he isn't a liability
in the
field. It's
amazing the way we've moved the goalposts right. on Gary Sanchez.
It's like
and
Gary
he's catching the baseball.
Yeah.
He's doing good.
He's doing good. And that lineup, him batting eighth, just, you know, maybe he runs into a few home runs here and there. But, you know, then you go to Betances, which was the turning point of the game. You're absolutely right, Wally. Going to him in the fourth inning or fifth inning?
First two hitters of the fifth inning singled.
Were you surprised that Severino came out for the fifth, given that he thought he was going to go four, and he literally left it all out for that strikeout of Simeon in the
I thought his stuff was good enough. The pitch count was getting up there. I mean, I think he was at like 81 or 82 at that point. But I thought they were going to try to get through five with him, and that's obviously what Boone's intention was by sending them out. I don't think he planned to send him out for one or two hitters.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to get through the fifth. And no, I wasn't surprised at all because you figured the guy's got to be good for 100 pitches.
Right.
Right?
He gives up
and
first
he was
pitch.
In command.
Yeah, he was in command. He gives up that first hit to the catcher, Lucroy, and then another single. He comes out. And I tell you what, I did not think Betances was going to be the first guy out of the bullpen, but in hindsight, great move because that was the turning point of the game because you had the A's, the middle of their lineup up, and it's not always the ninth inning. Judge said that after the game on the Yes Network. Games are usually not won in the ninth inning. They're won in the middle innings when the
they're preserved in the ninth
exactly.
inning.
You're absolutely right. They're preserved in the ninth, but in those middle innings when their best hitters are up, you got to go with your best, especially in a do-or-die game.
Which is why there's, you know, a school of thought that, you know, the so-called closer role really should be used like whenever that point in the game comes up.
Yeah, Britton came in the eighth too.
Right.
And he was shaky.
He was a little shaky.
He gave up the only runs out of the Yankees bullpen side of things. But, you know, three MVPs last night outside of Judge and getting things started, obviously, with that home run. It was Boone, it was Seve, and it was Betances, and now the Yankees
move on. What about Voit? Voit broke the game open.
Yeah, brought him up.
He wasn't one of your three MVPs there, man. I didn't hear it.
I think Boone, Seve, and Betances a little bit higher. Like an honorable mention. Lucas the seventh. You see his Twitter handle is hilarious. He's like he calls himself King Louis the seventh.
Oh my lord!
So he's loving every second of this.
He should be, man. I mean, this is a guy that was, you know, basically waived by the Cardinals. You know, they gave him away for nothing. The Yankees after like 10 days sent him down to the minors.
Right.
He wasn't, you know, like okay, we tried it, didn't work out. We'll see you later, man. And then he comes back, and you know, you'll never hear from Greg Bird again.
Craig Bird.
I mean, and this is a guy that the Yankees were so high on.
Man.
And now he's a completely forgotten guy. So, I mean, look, Luke Voit got an opportunity. He made the best
of it. I'm trying to find this. I tweeted when the Yankees first got Luke Voit and he played that first game in Fenway. I had a tweet. I said, Luke Voit looks the part, and that's about it.
Well,
so cold takes exposed. Come find me, because that was a very, very poor tweet on my part.
What the heck? I mean, wait, you don't have the luxury of seeing into the future. You don't know.
I
got to make an impression. You put your own name on your tweets, unlike a lot of like cowards who tweeted me for like behind the blue egg.
Yankee fan 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Whoever they are. I mean, you know, so you guys can go to hell. When you guys start making your judgments before the fact, then I will respect you with your name on it.
Well, you say
otherwise
that,
get lost.
You say that I can't look into the future. I wish I could look into the future yesterday.
Me too. I go to the racetrack every day.
You want to hear my story about what happened to me before going to the Yankee game last night?
Okay.
Here's how I wish I had some Nostradamus effects. So I wanted to go to the game last night, and I was looking at StubHub. Tickets were astronomical. They have that ridiculous service fee. You're not a fan.
I don't even know what it is. What is the service?
StubHub.com. But no, you buy the tickets. They tack on like $200 in a service fee.
What?
Yeah.
How much?
Like it gets up to like $200.
That's insane.
So it's like $50 per ticket.
Set?
I do. I wanted to be in the building, as Big Mike says.
Go buy yourself a TV set for $200.
The building. I have a huge TV downstairs, but you know, I eventually had to watch the game down there.
Okay.
But I don't want to give it too much away. So,
all right, so what happened?
I want to go to the game. I want to go with my brother. We want to get in there. So I go on Craigslist. I figure Craigslist might have some better deals. No service fees. I've bought tickets on Craigslist before. It's been all kosher. So we go, and I start interacting with this guy named, forget his name. I want to just strangle the guy.
You should definitely say his name. That way, if anybody
it's probably
wants
not him. It's not even his real name.
Yeah, probably not.
Alex Fisher. Okay, there
Fisher.
It is. Alex Fisher.
Don't buy anything from Alex Fisher.
Alex Fisher lives uptown. We'll just say that. So we start interacting. He tells me he has two tickets in section 115. He's got to get rid of them. His friends screwed him over. He bought them the night they clinched. Everything checked out. I called him. I made sure I talked to him for a while. He told me he's got a little baby girl. He gave me his girlfriend couldn't go to the game. Blah 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 blah. So okay, I'll go and I'll drive over there and I'll check out the seats. I'll check out the tickets and then we'll head over to the Bronx for another great night. Get over to pick up the tickets. He meets me outside. I give him a giant wad of cash. Giant wad of cash, and he gave
sounds
me
like
tickets.
A drug deal, right?
Yeah,
now.
It looked like a drug deal. It smelled like a drug deal. I did not get any drugs out of this. I couldn't get nothing out of it. So he hands me the ticket. They look somewhat real. I have them. I don't know where they are.
They looked somewhat real.
Look,
do you have them?
They look legit. Hold on.
Can
where
we see
they?
Them?
They looked. They looked very. I looked, took a close look at. A close look
they look
at
pretty
them.
Pretty real, huh?
They look decent. Right. And he says, all right, yeah, oh man, I actually have a fourth, and I might be going to the game too, so I could be seeing you over there.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so okay. This has to be real. So we pick up the tickets, and we head over to the Bronx. It takes forever to get there. We take the subway. There's people getting arrested on the subway. We get off the subway. We take an Uber. I'm outside Yankee Stadium waiting for our third guest to arrive. And I get a selfie with Carlos Beltran. Jerry Springer's next to me. I
no
talked to him
kidding.
For a little bit. Willie Colon, Mark Feinsand. It was like a who's who outside the Yankee Stadium Gate 4 entrance.
Mark Feinsand? Who's he?
Yeah, he's your buddy.
Oh, no, that, oh yeah, him. Oh, yeah. Wow, these do look real. How did he do this?
Yeah.
This looks pretty good.
Photoshop. The dude has a degree in Photoshop in the School of Hard Knocks.
Wow. He's got a degree in larceny. So anyway, I mean, really, it's got the small, the fine print on the
everything,
back.
Everything looked, everything checked
yeah,
out.
That looks real.
So we get to the front of the line, finally. We get through security, which is insane outside Yankee Stadium. We're walking through mazes just to get to the front of the line. We're excited as hell to get into the stadium. It's starting to fill up. And now I hand my ticket to the guy. Here's the moment of truth. Hand my ticket to the guy. He puts this little scanner over it. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, boy.
So that I'm thinking, holy crap. No, this is not happening. And then he like, takes the batteries out of his little scanner.
Yeah,
he shakes it up. He, like, blows on it like it's a Nintendo cartridge. Puts it back in. Presses the button. A big, giant red X comes up.
Wow.
He goes, where'd you buy these? I didn't tell him. I was like, what do you mean, where'd I buy them?
Yankees. None of your business.
Yankees. He goes, these are fake. And he, like, tries to rip them up. So I grabbed them out
you
of his hand.
You didn't notice the guy's name tag, did you? Because I know all those guys.
No, it was just an older
so have
guy.
Have some laughs with them
there
later.
There were so many people like trying to get it past me. They didn't care. They just shoved me out of the way. I grabbed the tickets because I wanted to bring them back to the ticket booth because they can verify them over
right.
at the Yankees ticket
yeah.
booth. And the guy just he took one look at them and goes, those are fake. You got screwed.
He knew it right away, huh?
Yeah.
There must be some telltale thing.
Right, at that point, they thought
like
that I was a scammer.
Like a hologram on the real ticket or something? I wouldn't know.
Right.
I don't, you know.
The moral of the story to everyone listening out there, do not buy tickets off Craigslist. And Alex Fisher, if you're out there, we're going to find you, okay? I know people, okay?
It's not going to be good for you,
I know people. Not going to be good for you.
You brought up something that I didn't know about. This is something that you don't know, being in the media, because I get there early. I mean, I'm there from like 2:30 in the afternoon. I didn't realize how long the security lines are. It's ridiculous.
It's worse for the playoffs.
Because, I'll bet, a couple of weeks ago I had to do the pregame show on picks, and what they do is they send a car and they pick you up like 5 o'clock, they whisk you into Manhattan, you do your thing, then they shoot you back to the stadium. But by the time you get there, it's like the first inning's over. So I get back there, and I'm walking toward the press gate, and it's like a mile-long line of people snaking through these things. No wonder the stadium was never full until the fourth inning.
Right, and there was you know, it's always like that when you get into the stadium early. That's why we like to get there early when we have real tickets. We get in there nice and early.
That helps. But it wouldn't matter what time you got there.
Oh my God! So we ended up going back to my apartment in Brooklyn watching the game. But it was funny when I was in the car driving back to my apartment. Judge hit the home run. Yeah. Zero emotion for me. Didn't even react.
Really?
I was just so pissed off.
Sure.
That I was just like, whatever. And then yet Susan and John were just waxing poetic. They were painting the picture of how awesome the stadium was. Susan was like, I just wish you all could be here right now. And I was like, I don't want to hear it.
I wish I could too.
I wanted to drive my car into the river and just forget it.
Oh, man.
But the Yankees come through. They won. They won the game. We move on to Boston. I said we. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan. And we got Michael Kay coming up. We're going to talk a lot of Red Sox because that's what the Yankees got next, Wally.
Yeah.
2004 was the last time they played. I was in high school.
Yeah, you're right. And, the interesting link, obviously, is Aaron Boone in the Yankees dugout, the guy who ended the Red Sox dreams in 2003.
Right.
And then the rivalry's not really what it was. There's no Pedro Zimmer anymore.
I wish.
There's not, there's no fights with the landscapers out in the bullpen.
Kareem Garcia, Jeff Nelson.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's definitely a little bit of bad blood between the two teams.
Of course.
And there's always intensity, so I think it'll be a great series. Unfortunately, I wish it was a 7-game series, honestly.
I think that if you're not going to get a best of three for the wild card, which I don't think MLB is going to do anytime soon when they see the ratings, move that best of the first series to a 7-gamer.
Yeah, but, the problem is you've already moved the season so far back. You're going into November at this point. You're right at the cusp of November at the best. Right. You get done on the 31st. Mm-hmm. You start adding games. Now you're going into the first week of November, which is fine if you're going to play in dome stadiums or, warm weather places. But if you ever played in Yankee Stadium, if you remember a couple of years ago, it's like 10, 12 years ago when the Angels played there.
It was freezing. 2009. Where was at that game? ALCS, game one, CC on the mound. I was wearing like snow shoveling gloves.
It was the worst. And, the guys on the Angels, poor guys from SoCal, they were like dressed like Olympic bobsledders. It was ridiculous. You can't play baseball like that. It's just cold.
Yeah, so five. It's going to be a 7-game intensity, compressed into five games. Yeah. The Red Sox have their fair share of issues. We'll talk to Michael Kay about that. Pitching is a little troublesome, starting pitching, and their bullpen is not as good as the Yankees. Price, Yankees are in his head, I think, and I think that Chris Sale, who hasn't thrown higher than 92 miles an hour, also hasn't pitched into the sixth inning since July 15th. Big-time issues here.
So it's amazing. We're talking about one team that won 109 games and another team that's won 101 games now. And, all we do is pick apart the flaws. But I think right now, Red Sox pitching might be more suspect than the Yankees.
Absolutely right. And what did we say in the offseason on day one? On paper, both teams at full strength. The Yankees are finally at full strength. Red Sox did what they did during the regular season. On paper, you have to give the edge to the Yankees in terms of their bullpen and starting pitching. That's why so many people picked them to win the division.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. But, obviously injuries took their toll. And this is why, the stupidest thing you can ever do is make a prediction at the beginning of a baseball season.
Yeah, I went back to our first episode because I thought
how badly
they're bad. I wanted to prepare just in case the Yankees lost the wild card game. We were going to do a season wrap-up episode and I could have played our predictions. They're bad.
Really?
We'll save them for maybe when the Yankees season does end. We'll replay them.
We're accountable. I mean, it's crazy. To predict the baseball season is stupid. I've told every editor I've ever worked with, it's a dumbass thing to ask me to do. They're going to play 162 games over 6 months. You don't know who's going to get hurt, who's going to perform well, who's going to perform badly, who's going to be on the team on July 31st. Yeah.
Because you said at the beginning of the segment from March, you go, I hate doing this.
I don't know why. It's stupid.
But let's do it. Let's have fun. But you actually, we both had a few right.
Okay. So
Greg Bird, Blind Squirrel, Finding Nut. Cespedes games. We were a little off on the Judge home runs, the Judge Stanton over under.
Because you can't predict who's going to be injured.
Can't predict baseball, Susan.
Yeah, Judge missed 2 months of the season.
All right. Here we go. Michael Kay, he's coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on everything. He can't call the games. I know it's killing him. So we'll get his thoughts on all that. Here he is, the one and only Michael Kay. Okay, sports fans, before we get to Michael Kay, I have to tell you about MyBookie.net. Football season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take the A side, you can take the total, you can even bet on the over-under or how many fantasy points a player will score. MyBookie.net lets you play online and win big. All you gotta do is use promo code NEWYORK100 when you register your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. You worried about the game already kicking off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie.net than today. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and start winning now. Use promo code NEWYORK100 when you register for your account and you get a 100% sign-up bonus. Get in on the action right now. Visit MyBookie.net. Use promo code NEWYORK100. Get that 100% sign-up bonus. Once again, MyBookie.net. Promo code NEWYORK100 for a 100% bonus. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
All right, Dan, this is one of our few repeat offenders. A guy that we had on back in July. He knows as much, if not more, about the Yankees than anybody. The TV voice of the New York Yankees and also the host of the Michael Kay Show on ESPN Radio, where I used to work for a little while.
And the Yes Network, where I watch it.
Yeah. I mean, he's like everywhere. He's everywhere. And right now, he's on the NYNY Baseball Podcast. The one and only Michael Kay. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
You got it, guys.
So, all right, last night you and I were both in the stadium. Obviously, there's a lot of tension involved with a wild card game. I kind of got the feeling that Aaron Boone dodged several bullets last night. I mean, you know, the choice of Severino I thought was kind of risky. Bringing in Betances when he did I thought was kind of risky. And the game itself is a risk because it's a one and done. But in a way, I also felt like he kind of salvaged his season here because if the Yankees don't win that game, what's the judgment we make on the Yankee year?
Well, I agree with everything because there were several things that were easily second-guessable. I mean, they were right up on a tee if they didn't work out. First of all, it was choosing Severino, as you said, and it turned out to be the right choice because he was really good. Then I also thought that after he had that big strikeout to end the fourth inning and he expended all that energy and you could see him dancing up the mound, there's no way they let him start the fifth. They did that. Then they bring in Betances with runners on base early. That worked out. Then he brings him out for a second inning of work, which I said, wow, I don't know if I would do that. Mm-hmm. That worked out. He takes out Andujar really early for defense. That worked out.
Yep.
And I would agree with you. I think that if they lose that game last night, there's no way you could look at this season as a success. There's just no way.
Isn't that amazing, though, that a team can win 100 games and we can be even talking about the possibility that it was a failure of a season? But the reality is, you lose that game, you played one more game than the Orioles, who lost 115 games this year.
That's a great way to put it. Also, remember, a lesser team last year went to the seventh game of the ALCS. They then got rid of the manager. They then went and got the National League MVP in a trade. Your sights have to be set higher. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you have to definitely get to the World Series, although that's their goal. But boy, if you get knocked out in the wild card game, the season is not a success. I'm sorry, there's no way to look at it.
Now, Michael, I know we all know you're not able to call the games because they're on national television. So you had a nice seat, like, almost like a fan last night. Talk a little about the stadium, because I feel like a lot of people are talking about how loud it is, and you know that aura is back at the stadium. They're throwing beers in the bleachers. Just a little bit of, I know the players talked about it. You know how it set the tone early. Aaron Judge said that just being in the stadium and not having to be, you know, calling every pitch and just kind of taking it all in kind of set the tone for what that stadium was like last night.
Yeah, I actually tweeted out right at the beginning that, you know, the fans were engaged. It was really deafening. And I think that Judge's home run really turned the whole thing over. I thought that was the biggest play of the game. And you know, I think they've won 7 straight games at Yankee Stadium in the playoffs. So it's a significant home field advantage. There's no other way to look at it. And when Judge's home run went out, this is something that I hadn't experienced at this new ballpark, but the stadium actually started to shake a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that was significant, and I think that it does play into a real advantage for the home team. The Yankees are, it's no accident, they're built for that ballpark, and they're better in that ballpark.
Oh, without a doubt, Michael. But, you know, here's the interesting thing to me. The knock on the new stadium, and it's not really new anymore, but, you know, the latest Yankee stadium is that it's too corporate, there's not real fans there, there's not a lot of life in the park. And now we come to the playoffs where the tickets are even more expensive, more difficult to get, and it seems like the place is filled with real fans. I mean, do you have a theory as to why suddenly the real quote-unquote fans show up, you know, at the most expensive and most difficult to get into games?
You know what? I never bought into that other narrative, Wally.
Okay.
I never did. I think that what happened was that in a strange way, they might have gotten bored.
Yes,
I mean,
I
just won every single year, and they don't win every single year anymore. And I think that now the fan base has kind of been indoctrinated. You know what? This isn't so easy. So when they get – I remember that one of the loudest the stadium ever was, even more than 2009, was the 2015 wild card against the Astros. I mean, the beginning of that game was about as loud as I've ever heard a stadium, but then they just couldn't get a hit off of Keuchel. So I just think it comes down to – real fan, not real fan, I'm not quite sure. I just don't think they're as spoiled as they once were.
Yeah, I think that 2010, 11, 12, when they went to the playoffs all 3 years in a row, there was that feeling there were empty seats. There was that feeling of a little of entitlement from the fans. You know, the team was starting to get a little older. But I would say that 2015, 2016, especially last year, 2017, with a new roster, the Baby Bombers, quote-unquote, it felt like there was a new product on the field, and the fans were more invested. And now you're seeing true passion all over that crowd. And I also think that you're plunking down $200. You're going to go crazy in the crowd. You want to get your money's worth. You're going to get tired when you're leaving.
I would go crazy just handing over the $200
to watch a baseball game. I know all about that, too.
You know what's funny about the two? I mean, not that I have to defend, nor will I, the pricing policies of the teams in New York. But as expensive as these seats seem, they're not as expensive as going seeing a regular season Knicks game.
Oh, that's true.
Game,
and they stink.
Or a Giants or a Jet game. So, yeah, it's expensive, but everything is relative. And, you know, these games actually mean something.
Yeah. Absolutely, but don't forget, you know, you got half as many tickets at Madison Square Garden, and it's all corporate buys, so it's not, they don't really, you know, it doesn't really translate. It's more like, you know, an event. It's like going to Broadway. I'll take my clients to a Knicks game. We'll kind of half pay attention. We'll talk on our cell phones, blah, blah, blah. It's not the same. I mean, a baseball crowd, I think, is much more connected with the action, and the Yankee crowd, obviously, is much more connected with the action.
The higher you go up in the ballpark, I mean, the seats are more affordable, and I think that that's you know, the higher you go, I think that's the fan that makes the most noise, and obviously in the legend seats, that's a different clientele.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I got to say one thing. I was listening to this now. The highest price, I mean, the highest seats in Yankee Stadium, the cheapest seats, what, like $25, something like that, upstairs?
During the regular season? Yeah, during the regular season, yeah.
Like $25. Yeah. I was reading a book yesterday about the Jack Dempsey-Gene Tunney fight. 1927, right? It's 90 years ago. The worst seats in the house were $25.
Wow, that's a lot, too.
That's 90 years ago. So when you take it, you know, by that standard, Yankees tickets aren't that expensive.
I would agree. I mean, this is an argument you can't win. But I've always, you know, they say, oh, I can't afford to go to the Yankee Stadium. I'm telling you guys, literally, you could get tickets. There were tickets for like 10, 15 games this year that you could have gotten into that ballpark for $5 to $15.
Right. Yeah. Well, the whole August thing, the standing room only thing, it was $50. You can go to every single game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Now, people say, well, I can't sit close to the field. You know what? When I was a kid, the box seats were $4. I couldn't afford that either.
Oh, I was just happy to be in the ballpark.
All right, I would be thrilled to be anywhere in the ballpark. So it's just the way life is sometimes.
Well, Michael, where did you watch the game last night? What vantage point were you at?
I actually was right field line because they didn't. Amazingly, there was not any press availability for the people that did the pre and post game on YES. So Debbie Timon was nice enough that they had a suite like down the right field line. So we just sat there and watched the game there. And then, you know, in the seventh inning, I walked down where the grounds crew is, and I watched from there.
I was now, looking Michael, for you. I was looking for behind home plate. Like it was last year, I think. Just your eyes were visible behind home plate.
I was in Cleveland. Yeah.
I took some comfort in that.
I got to go back to what you said. Why couldn't the YES Network people have pre and post game access? Who controlled that? Major League Baseball?
Yeah, we had no access to the press box. So like where our booth is, obviously they had like sound people for TBS. So there was no place to sit us. I mean, we could have gone up in the right field upper deck.
I saw that. Yeah, it's pretty remote.
I don't think anybody was sitting there.
No. I think that's for the later rounds. I don't think I might wind up sitting there for the ALCS. But yeah, I don't think anybody used it last night. So let's go. Let's look ahead. Go ahead.
They put us in the. I think it was Suite 11. It was great. It was good view. It was nice.
Nice.
Hey Michael, before we get to the right, I was going to say let's move ahead to the Red Sox series. But on a day like this, right after a big win, what do you anticipate the callers are going to say? Are you going to have guys on your radio show today finding fault, or you think is it going to be mostly happy talk?
Boone, he left Severino in too long.
Well, I think there'll be some disappointed fan base because I mean, there's a great slice of fan base that really doesn't like Boone.
Yeah,
so
why?
It's gonna be hard to.
What do you hear from your listeners for the most part? What is their problem? I don't get it.
He's bad with the bullpen. He doesn't show any emotion. He doesn't rip players.
He doesn't wear his jersey. Right.
For all the reasons that he was hired, they don't like him. And for all the reasons that they hated Girardi, they want
him
Boone to be that.
Yeah,
all
right.
I'll tell you what. Last night was a tough night for Boone haters. He really had a great game.
But there's a segment of
now
this.
Now I want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Especially Wally, because you dealt with the guy. He said publicly yesterday he's rooting for the Yankees. As a human being, if I'm Joe Girardi, I'm rooting against the Yankees. What do you think?
Oh, you're asking me? God, I'm one of the world's great haters. Come on, man.
It's for
what,
the haters' ball.
That's why we get along.
Wait, so Girardi said he's rooting for the Yankees?
Yeah, I just can't buy that.
Maybe he's actually a good person. I know it's hard for you and I to understand that concept.
I don't doubt it. He's a good person, but he also is flesh and blood. This team got rid of him.
Yeah.
There's no way he wants him to go or do better than he did last year. There's no way.
Unless he's moved on. Maybe he's moved on. Maybe he's going to take one of these several managerial openings that are out there.
He also didn't dance at your wedding, so he cannot be trusted.
No, he did dance.
No, he was.
Oh, he danced.
Oh, he did. That's he right. Danced. It was Don LaGreca that didn't dance.
Yeah, Don LaGreca didn't dance because he's an animal.
Yeah, but Girardi was. I'm sure Girardi was like doing
shaking
hip-hop light. Moves,
yeah,
everything.
Macarena.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Hal Steinbrenner danced at my wedding, and people tell me that he never dances.
That's very hard to believe.
Great DJ.
I've never seen an accountant dance before. Hey, self-described finance geek. Yeah. And he's dancing. Good for him.
Well,
man.
You know what? When the numbers are good, they dance.
No kidding, man.
Yeah, business is booming right now for the Yankees.
So, all right, let's look ahead to the Red Sox series. I mean, look, it's only a five-game series. One of the reasons I thought, obviously, now that Boone started Severino last night was we could have Jay Happ twice against the Red Sox, and he's been very, very good against them. I think that gives the Yankees a huge edge. I'm not saying he's winning both of those games, but I think he's going to win one of them, and he's going to keep them in both.
You know what? I thought the biggest challenge for the Yankees was the A's, and I think the Yankees are going to beat the Red Sox. I think the Yankees are better at things that the Red Sox are not good at. And the Red Sox, I mean, the huge question mark is Sale. He's not the same pitcher. Last start, he averaged 90 miles an hour on his fastball, the lowest in his career. You've got David Price, who's historically had a hard time beating the Yankees, and they do not have a good bridge to get the Kimbrel. I like how the Yankees set up in this series. And I don't know if they chose Severino so they could save Happ. But if that's the collateral issue of doing that, that helps them win this series. I think Happ is really good against the Red Sox.
You're not kidding. That's like a double whammy. You not only got a good night out of Severino, but you got Happ, for both those games. But if you're Alex Cora, do you even risk starting David Price in Yankee Stadium?
They have to be in Game 4, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his rotation shakes out at, but I would not go anywhere near that.
Right.
I think that they'll start Sale and Price and then Porcello, and then you've got to decide whether or not you want to have a fourth starter or if you want to bring Sale back with a bad shoulder on 3 days rest. That's their big decision. But I think that Price would only pitch 2 and 5, and both of those games would be at Fenway.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get this feeling just by monitoring social media and looking at comments and seeing Red Sox fans seem a little nervous. I mean, you look up on paper at the beginning of the season, I think a lot of people were giving the Yankees the edge to win the division. On paper, the Yankees, I think, have a better roster, 1 through 9. How do you think the Red Sox faithful are viewing this series right now as the Yankees seem to be clicking on all cylinders finally?
You know, an entire city was rooting for the Oakland A's yesterday. I mean, they had to be.
Yeah.
Because this is not a great matchup. And also, last night, all the pressure was on the Yankees. Tomorrow night, all the pressure is on the Red Sox. Paul O'Neill has told me a million times that 1998, as great as they were, the postseason was joyless because they had to win the World Series to validate 114 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Red Sox have to win the World Series to validate 108. Now, forget about the World Series. If you win 108 games and then you lose the series to the Yankees, the whole season meant nothing. So I think the Yankees now can go into this as the underdog, which is odd for them, and the Red Sox are definitely the overdog. They have to win this series. So I think they're going to feel it, and that first game is going to be a lot of pressure on the Red Sox.
You know, this is the same feeling that I had when the Yankees were on that great run between 1996 and 2000, that after a while, victory like brought relief. It didn't bring joy. It was like, whoosh,
yeah,
all right, man. Now you know we got through that because it was so expected, and I'm sure some of that is happening over there as well in Boston. But come on, you know the nature of Yankee fans. They're worried too. They're scared to death.
Of course,
series.
I mean, 108 wins. You got Mookie Betts. I mean, it's, and the Yankees when they go down to Fenway, it's just so tough.
And things are just crazy there. It's not. You know, no lead is safe. No game is. There's never like a normal Fenway Park game, right? I mean, you know, you're winning 5-0 going into the ninth inning, and you're worried.
4 hours
right?
later. Yep.
Do you sense that the rivalry between the two teams is anywhere near as strong as it once was, or is there like, you know, just not as much personal feeling mixed up in this anymore?
I don't think it's as strong as it used to be. I think this series has a chance to get back to that a little bit. I don't think the personalities are as dynamic as they were with Pedro and A-Rod and Jeter and that whole gang. But there's so much at stake now, and they're two really good teams. I think the rivalry has waned just a bit because they haven't been as good at the same time. And I think a lot of the starch was taken out of it with 2004. I mean, talk about the ultimate trump card. You know, you come back from 3-0 and then you win the World Series. Mm-hmm. So the Red Sox were no longer the little orphan that always got punished. So I think that now they look at themselves as somewhat on equal footing. But I think that this five-game set is going to be dynamic.
Now, how about the added factor of Aaron Boone being in the Yankee dugout this year? You know, the man who crushed them in 2003 is just like a living reminder of that disappointment, isn't it?
I think that's just another layer to the whole thing. I mean, another sidebar, so to speak. So it's going to be great. I mean, that was the last time where the Red Sox were still the real little sisters of the poor, where
right.
he hits that home run and they probably think, oh, we'll never do it.
Right.
Well, they ended up doing it the next year. So yeah. Boone's the last vestige of when the Yankees owned them for all those years. So having him in the dugout, just another great dynamic.
I think you just gave me the lead to my column today.
There you go.
I appreciate that. See that you've already paid your freight already. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You, Michael.
Are you going up to Fenway for those two games or not?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I'm deciding either driving tonight or tomorrow.
You'll broadcast from there tomorrow.
I'll do the show from there, and then the pre and post game for yes.
So how tough is it for you not to get to call these games? I mean, I know that you know you're dying to do it. You know, what do you sit there and just like do play-by-play in your seat or something, or how do you deal with it?
Honestly, it's the worst. And you know, when like for 27 years now, when I go to a ball game, I'm in on every pitch because you're calling every single pitch.
Right.
And I have a hard time with my mind not wandering. I probably have raging ADD anyway. So I make myself keep score. It's really difficult. And I also think it stinks. It really does. Because, you know, you got the NCAA tournament where, you know, they have SAP buttons where you have the home team announcers.
Yep.
I think that Fox and TBS should do that because I think all fan bases want their home team announcers. They did the whole season with them. And I just think it's crazy. In this day and age with all the technology, it's an easy thing to do. Fox and TBS would still get the ratings, except that the fans would get to listen to the announcers that they want to listen to. But
you're so right.
In short, it's really, really difficult. Yeah. I don't know if I've told you guys this. I look at it like you dated the girl all year, and now somebody else is taking her to the prom.
Yeah. Did you look up into the booth last night and you saw the TBS, Eckersley, and Brian Anderson, and you went, oh, man, they're dancing with my girl right now. This stinks.
Not only dancing, they were, like, making out with her.
Yeah, they were getting, like, to several bases. I remember from going back to when I was a kid, you know, like, the 69 World Series, I had to hear Kurt Gowdy, and I was so disappointed. You know, and he was great, but still, you wanted to be your own guys.
Back then, though, Wally, they threw you a crumb.
Yeah, they gave you one guy.
They gave, like, Phil Rizzuto would be in the booth or Bill White. I mean, that was cool.
Right.
But they don't do that anymore.
No.
I'll tell you what, though. What if you set up your phone and you did, like, a Twitter Live and you just went rogue and you started calling the game from wherever you are located? You would probably have thousands and thousands of people streaming it.
And you'd have Commissioner Manfred and his team of lawyers on your ass.
That's exactly. I thought about what you said, and now what you just said. There's no way they would legally allow me to do it.
No, the investigators would be all over you.
Just see how long the stream could last.
I had somebody call the radio show yesterday and say, if I gave you my number, would you do play-by-play into the phone? I go, yeah, I'd love to do that. Sure.
How much at the right price? I mean, you know, Michael Buffer, a friend of ours, and he does bar mitzvahs and all sorts of things for thousands of dollars.
I'd say $1 a minute would be fair. Man, maybe
$10. With these games, that'll be a lot of money.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. All right, Mike, before we let you go, can we put you on the spot for a prediction? You think the Yankees are going to win the series, right?
I do. I think they're going to win in four games.
Wow. Four. Okay, so they get to celebrate on the field in the Bronx next Tuesday.
I would think so. I mean, and I just don't want to, you know, whenever I make a prediction with the Yankees, and I get the old, you know, Yankee boy crap.
Right.
But I really truly believe this. I just think that the Yankees match up really well with the Red Sox. And I think that because Severino pitched yesterday and you've got Hap now for two games and you've got Tanaka who pitches really well on the road to pitch game two. And the Red Sox with Sale, that's a huge question mark. I think the Yankees are going to win the series. Hey, I've been wrong before, but I really truly believe that they're going to win the series.
Do you think CeCe gets a start? Because that game four could get a little dicey. You could bring back Hap on short rest. Just quickly, how do you think the Yankees pitching shapes out for the series?
I think if they're up 2-1, they'll pitch CeCe.
Okay.
If it's 1-2 and they're down, there's a chance they could go batter-to-batter with CeCe, and, you know, if their bullpen's in good shape.
Yeah.
I would think that CeCe will make a start. I really do.
Okay, cool.
All right, great. Well, we look forward to it, and I'll see you back in the Bronx on Monday. So have a safe trip up there, buddy.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks so much, guys. It's always fun.
All right. The one and only Michael Kay. He will be doing play-by-play from his seat in Fenway Park.
He'll be doing play-by-play for random fans out there. If you want Michael Kay's number.
Yeah, just sit next to him, and he'll just call the pitches.
I'll just download our podcast and then unsubscribe, resubscribe, so we can get new subscribers, and we'll give you Michael Kay's number. You can call him.
It's going to take more than that.
He will. If any sponsors out there, you can sponsor the show. We'll give you Michael Kay's number. He will provide you some play-by-play.
Sure he will.
Unbelievable. That does kind of suck for him. You know, you're there all season long, but you know what? He makes a lot of money, Michael Kay.
So I'm told.
And he gets to sit in a suite and watch the game. And eat those garlic fries and the bacon on a stick and all this.
Is that part of his new diet? You should ask him.
I did want to end the interview by saying, Michael, you are looking very thin these
very
days.
Very svelte.
I didn't want to come off as a suck up. And you never know how the end of interviews are always so awkward. You say bye. Like, what do you say? So yeah, but he is looking svelte, Michael, if you're listening to this when we post it. But I tend to agree with him on the Red Sox call. I think that the sexy pick right now is Yankees in four or five. The pitching certainly tips to the side of the Yankees. The bullpen is better. And you can say right now that the Yankees offense, you know, is actually out, is actually, it competes with the Red Sox, if not better, on paper.
Yeah, but let's not forget, you know, the Yankees offense runs hot and cold. The other day when I was on MLB Now, as a plug for myself, John Heyman made a very interesting point about the Cubs before they're playing their play-in game.
Right.
He said, you know, 34 times this year they've scored one run or less.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Well, I went back through the Yankees play-by-plays after that. I mean, their box scores. 32 times they scored two runs or less.
Wow.
So you're talking about a team that can be very hot or very cold.
You're right. I mean,
it's hard to figure out when they're going to be what.
They live and die by the home run, but you got to figure they're going to be playing in Fenway Park at a lot of right-hand batters in the Yankees lineup, so they can kind of feast on the Green Monster.
Yeah.
And when they come to the Bronx, you know what happens there with the home runs. You saw it last night, even though Giancarlo Stanton's home run would have left any ballpark. I think that thing landed in Queens. How about Stanton, his first game as a Yankee in the playoffs? He gets that monkey off his back, hits a home run early. That has to help his psyche.
Yeah, but let's not forget, all right, first of all, I'm not real happy with him because he sprayed me with champagne in the clubhouse last
That's
night.
That's another thing.
But he hit the home run when they were up 6-2.
So everyone counts.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, it's not the same like saying, you know, he was in a pressure situation and hit a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning.
But still.
You know, all right, it's good. It's wonderful. But, it's you know, it's nice that he hit a home run.
Good for the psyche.
But, we'll see. We don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
But I will say this. That was the first meaningful game he has ever played in.
You're right.
Maybe his major league career.
High school, you have to go back. Yeah.
In his major league career.
And he came through with a nice home run. Yeah, it was in garbage time.
And it was a great shot.
Great moon shot.
Damn, he's accurate with a champagne bottle.
Yeah, I was going to say, how was the post game? I put on Yes Network. I couldn't get enough of the game.
Stunk down there. It stunk like a brewery.
A brewery. I saw you down there, and I saw it was Matt Yaloff was doing an interview with...
I think Judge.
With Judge, and all of a sudden, Wally's in my picture. You got a nice black button down. You were looking good. Black button down.
Sure.
With the jeans.
That was me.
And someone sprays you, and you gave a death stare.
I was not happy. You know, look, it's all well and good. The boys are happy. Let them spray each other. You know, they can pat each other on the back. I'm not part of it, all right? Yeah. I ain't in it.
I ain't in this, buddy.
That's right, man. So,
next thing I know, I turn around.
And the other thing
is, in the headlock.
They're all, you know, in their T-shirts and their goggles, and they have their clothes safely put aside in a locker so they can change. I don't have any of that stuff. I
got to
go home in a champagne-soaked shirt.
Yep.
No, thank you,
Meredith
guys.
Was soaked head to toe.
Yeah. Meredith has complained about it, too. She says, you know, she should give the team her dry cleaning bills.
It's so awkward. And with any other profession, if something good happens in your business, imagine starting to spray each other.
That's a
with
wonderful
champagne.
I think we're going to start doing that in the press box.
Like something good happens, someone gets promoted, or you guys hit your numbers for that quarter, you just pop out champagne, you start spraying each other.
I bet you they do that on Wall Street.
You're dancing with goggles on. It's just, sports are weird.
It's weird.
Sports
and not only that,
weird.
In baseball, you could do it like five times.
Right.
You just keep doing it.
But I do agree with the last night was the ultimate celebration. Yes, they did celebrate when they clinched the wild card berth. But last night was like we got past the A's. Now we're officially in the like legit playoffs.
Well, now
that's
you can't,
when you saw it a little more of a celebration.
Because there's no way that you could say the season was a failure now. It's no
right.
Listen, there's no disgrace. They could easily lose the series.
Right,
now.
Especially if you take Michael
Kay's.
No
disgrace losing a five-game series. And, you know, where three of the games are in Fenway Park to the Red Sox.
Exactly.
To a team that won that many games.
Exactly. And Michael saying, I agree with them that the Red Sox are the favorite. All the pressure's on them. It's a good spot for the Yankees. I'm telling you, things are starting to align here. Could potentially see
the
Yankees.
Fan in you is coming out, brother.
I got to scale it back a little bit. Let's go, Yankees. This is my time.
Put
October.
Those pom-poms down.
October is when this is the agreement we made. You're the reporter.
I'm
the fan. It's, that's why we
right.
bring two crowds
go
together
right
for
ahead.
This podcast. So let's go, Yankees. Let's take this all the way to October, at the end of October, so we can keep doing the podcast.
Yeah, that would be good.
That's the thing.
See, that's what I'm rooting for.
Right.
More podcasts.
We've got to keep the podcast going. We don't know exactly what day we're going to be coming to you because we're trying to align the show
with the stars.
Yes, that. And what makes the most sense coming off of the game. So we figured this week we'd do it Thursday and we'd talk about a Yankee win and then preview the Red Sox series. So next week we got to figure out it's either maybe be Wednesday or Thursday. You know,
it'll be sometime next week.
Sometime next week.
Stick around. We'll let you know.
To see. We're going to have some big guests, too. I know we're going to go back into our treasure trove of contacts. Could see another repeat offender come on the podcast. Maybe David Cohn. Maybe John Sterling. You never know who's going to come on this podcast. That's
Let's
the beauty
Brian
of it.
Get Brian Kenny on so we could ridicule him.
Hey, Brian, how'd that bullpen game go for you?
He would have been the perfect guy today.
He would have spun it somehow. He would have spun it to the Yankees. That the Yankees bullpen's great.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but it wasn't exactly a bullpen game, so that wouldn't have worked.
I didn't get a chance to ask this to Michael, so I'll ask you. Were you surprised that Andujar got pulled so early, and do you think that will be something that happens again, or was it just because of an elimination game?
Well, let me start by pointing out he was out of the game, what, one inning? And Echeverria made that great play.
Oh, my God. That
Andujar would not have made. And Andujar also made the throwing error early in the game that put Severino into some trouble.
And,
So, yeah, I think it's the short answer is, yeah, I think you're going to see that more
often. Maybe not as early as the sixth, but maybe in the
eighth. Well, it depends on what the score of the game is.
Right. If you have a little more leniency.
If you're up 6-0 after five innings, you know, you might get him out of there. And you might even see Sanchez get pulled.
Yeah, I was waiting for that last night, but he actually played really well behind the plate.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so we've been ripping into him all year long. Got to give him some credit there. But I will say this, just to turn this a little bit. This isn't just a great game for the Yankees. Their infield defense, not great at the corners.
No, I mean, you know, even though Andujar got charged with that error, that's the kind of a pick that, you know, a good first baseman makes.
And also Voit, Didi kind of bailed him out on that.
On the double play.
3-6-3 double play. Yeah. He let that sail. That thing had left field written all over it.
Didi made a great play. Yeah, he went flying through the air.
I think Voit was a little jacked up early, but, you know, he's an average defender. I don't have a book on him.
He's not bad.
He's not bad.
He's not going to save a guy like Andujar.
Right, he's not picking in the dirt. But I'll tell you what, you're lucky to have a guy like Neil Walker who can fill in at third and first. But I'll tell you, they have to really show up their defense if they want to make a long run.
Well, I think that Boone, you know, understands the value of defense, and you will see, as I say, if the Yankees are holding, you know, a decent lead, you're going to see guys like Andujar come out of the game. You might see, I don't know if you're going to see Voit come out of the game because you don't really want to take his power bat out of the lineup, but, you know, you might. But I think you will see Sanchez that time with certain pitchers.
Yeah, they're deep.
Be replaced by Romine.
Their bench is very deep, and they have a lot of good parts there, so they can mix and match. Gardner even got into left field last night. The TBS broadcast didn't show him in left, but he went in for defense, so they can mix and match.
Is that in the ninth inning?
Yeah, he came in.
I didn't even know that. I was too busy writing. My head was buried in the
computer.
So
what do you got coming up? You're going to be in the Bronx. You're going to be writing for.
I'll be in the Bronx Monday and Tuesday for the New York Daily News. I will not be in Boston this weekend.
Okay.
Which is good. I'll be in front of my TV set.
Watching.
Popping a beverage.
That's going to be must-watch TV.
Without it, well, it's part of my job.
Yes, it's good stuff. Yankees and Red Sox battling in October is good for baseball. It's good for the podcast. We'll see you next week with more big guests. This is the New York Baseball Podcast.